In our new series, Debut Discussions, we're asking debut authors to tell us about their story, not the story they wrote in the novel, but the journey they took to hold the book in their hands. On today's episode, we welcome Ashley Tate. Ashley worked for over a decade as an editorial writer and an editor for various publications, including Canada's first online magazine. Her debut novel, 27 Minutes, is out now. Welcome to Pop Fiction Women, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes.
We are so excited as well. And we are going to get into 27 Minutes. But because this is our debut author series, we like to sort of go back in time. Writers always really begin as readers. So we'd love to hear your story as a reader.
Well, I definitely came from a family of avid readers. Everyone was always reading, very different things, but always reading. And I think my first kind of like obsession with books was Marie Sendak. Especially Outside Over There, which is like, I think it's horror adjacent. I mean, it was so creepy and scary. I mean, it's about goblins like stealing the sister and then putting like an ice sculpture, and it was terrifying. But as a child, I was just like mesmerized by this like kind of dark, beautiful storytelling. And then it progressed into like Nancy Drew and R.L. Fear Street, and then, you know, Stephen King and the real horror guys. So, yeah, I read a lot. And it was kind of the only thing I really, really liked doing.
And were you was it expected of you, or were you praised for reading, or was it just like, this is water?
This is water.
Yeah.
This is water.
Cool.
I remember I have a much younger brother. Well, not much younger, but 5 years younger. And I remember the thing he would get the most in trouble for would be reading at the dining room table.
Wow.
So it was just books all the time, reading all the time. If we went on vacation, it was reading on vacation, reading in the car, tons of reading.
Yeah. Well, every writer knows that good stories begin with an inciting incident, that thing that shakes up the status quo, and yours is a story of grief, as we read in your acknowledgments, and as you've already shared a bit on social media. Tell us about the impetus for writing this novel.
So this was kind of this confluence of events for me.
Yeah.
It was 2018, 2019, and my life was just in upheaval. We had moved to the States, and then we're going to stay, but then my husband got a job back in Canada. So after we decided to stay and sell our house in Toronto, we moved back to Toronto and lived with my dad. And in this time, my mom passed away, and it was just this, like, nothing was stable.
Yeah.
And I love telling you guys this story because you guys know Ashley Audrain.
Yeah.
But I was out for dinner with her. I was working on something creatively that just was not working, and I'd been working on it for years. And I was out for dinner with Ashley, and I don't know if she would remember this, but she said to me, she said, "Ashley, this is such a period of like adjustment for you, like a new kind of start. Work on something you really want to write." And this just really like resonated with me, like, yes, I can stop doing something that's not working and have the, it almost like with all this change, it kind of gave me the confidence I needed that I had been lacking to write something that I wanted using a very authentic voice that up until this point, I'd been really afraid to use. I didn't know how it was going to be received, but I was like, this is the time. And then I had this idea in the back of my head for like 15 years of this twist. And so it was this kind of perfect storm that I wrote the first draft of this book.
By the way, that twist, I loved.
Thank you.
No spoilers, but... So when you started writing, did you immediately put that idea, that other project aside, and you were like, this is it. I'm going to just go with this.
That project is like dead. It's dead to me.
I love that one statement by Ashley just gave you that permission and just unlocked what was in there. I mean, you had the twist, you had the voice. It just had to come out. I mean, so...
Yeah. But wait, did you always want to write a novel? I know that's how this novel started.
Yeah.
Did you always?
Oh, no. I feel like as a child, I would call myself like a geriatric millennial.
Okay.
But growing up in the 80s and 90s, being an author just didn't even, it was just, you wouldn't even dream of it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know any, you didn't see any. You didn't know what they looked like. You didn't know where they lived. It was just this, like, you go to a library or a bookstore and magic, and the books are there. So although I always wrote, always loved reading, always kind of went into things that were writing related, I never dreamed of writing a book. It was, are you crazy? It's too, too hard. So, I mean, I was a writer, but I didn't really consider it until I actually left my job of being a writer. I have so much respect for people that can write as their job and then write as their hobby. And I just couldn't. I just didn't have the like creative capacity to do that. So it wasn't until I left my writing job that I started writing fiction, or trying to.
Left my writing job to take on a new writing job.
Yeah, exactly.
It happens that way.
So now that we know the impetus for the, for you writing a novel and that moment, why don't you give our listeners the elevator pitch for 27 minutes?
So it takes place in a very claustrophobic town that's never really been able to move on from this tragic car accident that killed the town's golden girl a decade ago. It opens in the days leading up to a memorial being held in her honor. And it's told from the alternating perspectives of four people deeply impacted by the night of the accident in different ways. And as we get closer to the memorial, they all start to unravel, secrets start to come out. And the question that's kind of haunted this town for 10 years of what happened in the 27 minutes between the accident and the call for help will kind of finally be revealed.
That title, can I just say, is so good. Was this always the title?
No,
usually never is, but
apparently they're changed like 90% of the time. So but mine was changed.
But do you like this? I love
this title. I think it's perfect. It's a great, actually, I don't know if I didn't come up with it. It was the marketing team.
Same for me.
That's why really I was wondering.
Perfect. I think it's a perfect title.
Yeah, it is.
And but you came up with 27 minutes. You gave it that time frame. And what was, like, did 27 just jump out at you? Did you think about it, or is
it
just something?
I did think about it. I did think about it. I wanted it to be an odd number. I wanted it to be under 30 minutes. And so I landed on 27.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I don't know, those things, little things. That's like just something only writers do and think about and are like, of course you thought about it.
What was the working title? Can I just ask? I would love to think what you saved it as.
Commit this body to the ground.
Oh, that's good.
It is good.
Yeah, I really loved that one.
Because
it, like, you've read the book. There, I think I cut a scene down in the book, but originally there was a bit, a longer scene about this, like, ceremony with this bird. And commit this body to the ground is a line from Ashes to Ashes, Dust to Dust. And I just thought it was like this beautiful, poetic title. And my all three editors were like, no.
Same.
I loved your title too, Corinne. Loved it.
Yeah, mine was...
What was your original one?
I Would Die for You, which is...
That's good.
And it's going to lead me to the next question too about brothers and sisters and siblings. But yeah, and then the marketing, they were just like, no. Marketing was like, no.
It wasn't even a question.
No, it wasn't.
It was like assumed. It was, and like, I was so surprised.
Maybe there's a theme here. I mean, commit this body to the ground. I would die for you. Maybe they don't like titles with like death and killing, even though
that's what the book
is. What may sell in terms of content. Sells. Yeah. I don't know what.
It's just not snappy. Yeah. And
it's not short.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of hard to remember. Bit long. I get it. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I love 27 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, our books, as I've mentioned, are kind of eerily similar in some fundamental ways. And for me, the biggest one that I wanted to talk about was the focus on the complex relationships between brothers and sisters, of which there are two pairs in this novel, Phoebe and Grant and June and Wyatt. Sibling dynamics are just something I am obsessed with, probably from the time I read Gone Girl, probably before that, to the time I finished writing Astrology House. And by the way, that's just because I'm really in between books. I know that hasn't ended, but where, I was wondering, where did that, because it's not something that gets explored a ton. And if it is, it's sometimes one-dimensional. Either they are estranged and it's not good, or they are so close. But there is so much complexity that I felt so relatable and real in 27 minutes. Where does that preoccupation come for you?
You know, what's funny is I'm not preoccupied with it at all. And I definitely didn't set out with that in mind. It was more, I wanted to talk about dysfunctional family dynamics and, you know, kind of trauma from childhood or teenagehood and how you bring that, you know, into adulthood. And I felt the best way to do that was through siblings.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the family.
Because it's the real time manifestation of things that happened a long time ago, right? And
exactly.
You can see like the way you care for each other and the way you think about each other. I loved that dynamic in this book.
And just thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And just that kind of unconditional love or support that maybe sometimes isn't the best.
Yes. And can come out sideways, mm-hmm. right? Like can have the opposite of the intended effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm obsessed with, and Corinne and I have talked about a lot, is sort of being seen and this idea of seeing each other. And there are a lot of poignant references here in your novel to invisibility and being unseen. So June and Wyatt feel it compared to the Deans, and Becca also experiences it in connection with Phoebe's death. Is this a theme that you're interested in or wanted to explore?
I think that for me, being taken for granted is my biggest trigger.
Oh, yeah.
As a mother, and I was a stay-at-home mom and working. And as a kid, you know, kind of back to the sibling dynamics, being not seen sometimes because of my brother, and I'm sure vice versa. And I have kids and I'm trying to be really aware of this. So that's definitely the root of the invisibility, because to me, it is my most triggering emotion.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm working through it in my novel.
Same. Hence why I'm obsessed with it as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the small town dynamics really feed into that for both of them, right? There is... And that's how it works in a small town. Like you said, they can't forget this accident. And also you have the kind of the golden family and everyone else is kind of cast in their shadow. And then tragedy also can cast a wide shadow too. So it all really worked to bring out that feeling. And I felt for them in that way. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
There are four, as you mentioned, four point of view characters in this book. Along with a very tight time frame, you mentioned that too, the 3 days leading up to Phoebe's memorial, and flashbacks to the night of the accident. So kind of a dual timeline. It's not a dual timeline, but there's enough flashback that you really had to do that work. It's a lot of craft technique that's going on in this novel. Mm-hmm. By the way, I love that. And I think, by the way, people need that now. You can't just write a straight, you know, first person straight from the beginning to the end novel anymore, because readers are more sophisticated and expect more. I know you're a pantser, so I wanted to know what elements of that came to you first and which characters came to you first.
Well, the first draft was just dual POV. It was June and Grant, and Becca was a very minor character, as was Wyatt.
Wow.
And that draft didn't go anywhere. I didn't get an agent with it. So with everything that happened with my agent and submission, I completely rewrote it. I kept maybe 5%.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And decided if I'm going to go for it. This was a book that had died again.
Wow.
And so if I'm going to go for it, I'm really going to go for it. And I'm going to amp up Becca, amp up Wyatt. And so, yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
And then the flashbacks.
Yes.
Was my editors really liked those. So through revisions, and I mean, there was a ton of revisions, I added more. Yeah.
Do you have anything hidden in a drawer from Phoebe's point of view? Lacking, but I was curious. Mm.
That she was another character that I kind of added more to through revisions.
Yeah.
I do have for my UK publishers, I wrote a kind of short story that takes place 3 years after the fact. Oh, but Phoebe's not really in that either.
Yeah.
But just kind of where did these characters end up?
That's exciting.
So you're working through this and you're making these revisions. At any point, were there things that you utilized, like craft books, or did you take any writing classes or go on retreats to help at any point in the process?
Craft books make me really anxious and stress me out. I've had to really accept that I am not a plotter. I am write by instinct, which is I wouldn't recommend, but that's just the way I write. And so anytime I've been stuck and someone's like, oh, you have to read this book, I'll start it. And I'm like, no, I can't. That's not how I work. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't.
However, the ones like, I do like the ones like Stephen King's and Bird by Bird that to me are more like inspiration and like keep going. Yeah. And so those I like, but craft books, no. And I've never taken a writing class and I've never gone on a writing retreat.
Okay, oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. But you do have a writing partner.
Yes, I do have a writing background. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yes. For a long time.
Yes, that was so your prior career infused the process, but also Absolutely. You do have a writing partner, right?
I do.
Yes.
So I do work with Ashley Audrain. Yes.
We have already mentioned her.
Yeah, she's the best. Yeah. I feel really lucky. She's just generous and so smart. She's got such a good eye for what a reader will be looking for, which I am more like internal.
Yeah.
So
you're like, this is what I'm working out. Reader Schmieder.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I'm sure that you found this writing it and then sending it and hearing what you wrote and you're like, oh, I didn't mean that, but okay.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So you said that your first draft did not get an agent. So people love to hear the stories, you know, that for a debut of the trials and tribulations. So then how did you get your agent?
So I shelved this book. And then I know that people are all over the place with the pandemic in terms of creativity, but I felt extremely creative. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book. I got an agent with that book. And so this was my third book, and it happened really fast. I had a lot of interest. I was able to choose agents, which is just like a dream, especially after hearing no twice.
Yes. Yeah.
So it happened really quickly. I signed with Madeline Milburn Agency, Ashley's agency, although not the same agent. And then, and there was a lot of excitement, and then that book died on submission. Wow. So that was crushing.
Yes.
I've
had that happen. I'm saying yes because I know that feeling.
It's almost
really...
getting close is harder than not getting close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I really thought about giving up. It had been three books now, and it was the pumping my tires, you know. Is that a Canadian term?
No. Pump the brakes, we would say, maybe.
They were gassing me up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is amazing. This is going to soar, you know. Yeah. And then crickets. Well, not crickets. I mean, it did get close. Yeah. And what they told me was it's too dark for the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
So then I didn't give up. And really because of my kids, I didn't want to show that. I wanted to show, like, you can fail and keep going.
Yeah.
And that, and I had this twist that I wasn't ready to give up on. Mm-hmm. So I rewrote it. And then a year later... my agent submitted it, and it sold really quickly, except for in the US. The US took a bit of time, but in Canada and the UK, I got my Canadian offer within 24 hours, which was absolutely mind-blowing.
That is.
So
was the twist in all of these?
Yeah.
So the twist has remained the same.
The twist has remained the same.
So that
the sense is there, but the book is different.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that. And you know, if you didn't have Becca and Wyatt's point of view, you can tell like what would be different about it or how it would feel different. It's funny that you said it was too dark for the pandemic because I do feel like this book is pretty hopeful. Like it's, I don't know. I cried.
It was the last book.
My last book, which was like a dystopian.
Got it. That's right.
Really dark book. Okay. Yeah. Really dark.
Right.
So.
But do you feel.
I'm hoping one day it will come out because I really love it.
Yes.
That's good.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But do you feel this book is hopeful? It's tragic, but
Look at her face.
27 minutes.
Yeah, 27 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can. I love that you think that, and I can see that. For me, I wanted the reader to feel like it had a good ending.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That maybe these characters will become unstuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
which I think
hope?
Is hopeful. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yes.
I think that is.
They're not stuck. They're no longer stuck. I mean,
which
there's
they have
be
been
some...
for a long time.
Yeah, they've been for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like the truth will set you free.
Yes.
Let's hope so in this case.
Yeah. Okay, but so the book sold very quickly, 27 minutes sold very quickly.
Yeah.
How long has it been between then and now?
About 18 months.
Mm, and everyone outside of publishing is, and even when I was outside of publishing, I was like, that, why, it moves at a glacial pace. Why is it so slow? I have needed this time, this next 6 months, talking about relating publishing to motherhood. The days mm-hmm. are long and the years are short. That is how I feel about publishing. How have you felt and have you needed this time? And
it's a good question. It feels like it was forever ago. And it also feels like it was yesterday.
Yes.
That I was getting acquisition emails. Just incredible. I think because things have just kind of continued, right? There was the editing process and then there was getting the covers and then there was, you know, it's kind of, there's always been something,
yes.
I feel.
Yes.
And you're on a 2-book deal.
Yeah.
And I'm on a 2-book deal. Yeah. So in that time, I wrote another book.
Right.
So I mean, I needed the time for that.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I needed more time for that.
Yeah, I'm like, I haven't done that yet.
I got my notes back.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I feel like it's been busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No, for sure. And you realize logistically, as you're mm-hmm. saying, there's time for copy edits, first pass pages, other readers, covers. You actually need that time. But I needed it, too. And I didn't anticipate that. I expected that publishing would need it, but I didn't expect that I would need it too. So on that long road to publication and pre-acquisition and post, what is the best advice that you've gotten or the lesson that you've learned?
It's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And I often go back to advice I was given as a new mom, and my best friend told me this. She said, try not to get too high with the highs and too low with the lows. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really, that's what I'm trying.
Oh,
kind of maintain like.
I like that.
This like level.
Yeah.
I'm trying. It's a work. It's a lot of work.
It is. And, but did you just said that and did you hear how I exhaled? Like I was that's the advice.
I go back to those early days
which
was so hard.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Like, take it a day at a time. Take it an hour at a time. Don't think ahead. You'll want to run away. You know, those kinds of things.
You'll want to run away. This is resonating clearly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot like that. The unknowns, right? The unknowns for me. That
absolutely.
Okay, you're gonna laugh because I listened to your podcast on Friday.
Okay.
And the one piece of advice across the board is don't read your reviews.
Okay.
Because she read the Goodreads review.
Yeah.
But we don't. Do you?
Of course.
Do you listen?
That's
of course.
Amazing.
She's like, don't read your reviews, but I do.
It is. I feel like I could give a crash course in reviews because I have a lot of negative reviews.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
But I think. And that's not the advice that I would give, by the way.
Okay.
But that is the advice that I've been given.
Given. Yes.
Yeah. The advice that I would give
is
keep moving the goalposts for yourself.
Ooh, this is not good. Corinne likes to move
that's
the goalposts.
That's a good one.
Uh-oh.
No, but that's a but
I
it's
have
a
this,
very
I have
important
this,
good
it
lesson.
Is. You're right.
I have this like quote that I randomly saw online that says, "This present moment used to be the unimaginable future."
Oh, yes.
That
and I think
so
about that
good.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 years ago, I didn't think I was going to get an agent.
Yes.
You know, I didn't think my goal was get an agent, see my book on the shelves. It wasn't be on 10 most anticipated
yes.
lists.
Yes.
It wasn't you name
yes.
it. Because that's what leading up to publication, those are the things that you think about.
Right.
So I really try to kind of slow my roll a little bit, you know?
Yes.
Don't move the goalposts. I've already hit so many things that I would have never dreamed of.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that is my piece of advice.
That is very
And also
hard.
Don't read your reviews.
Yes.
So let me ask about these reviews though. Yeah. So everyone says this, by the way, don't read them, mm-hmm. of course. And we've had mm-hmm. some authors who genuinely, I think they're telling the truth and say they don't. Mm-hmm. And then there's some...
Ashley doesn't read her reviews.
Okay. So you got that advice. You're close with Ashley. She told you. So what is it in you that's like, yeah, screw it. I'm going to read it. I don't know.
Well, first of all, it's like kind of one of the only tangible things that you have leading up to publication.
True.
Second of all, I am an eternal pessimist. And so I need to know the worst case scenario.
Oh, Corinne. Mm, well, then you're yes. really making a case for Corinne to read these then.
I mean, if you do, listen. It really annoyed me when people would say, why are you reading your reviews? Like, you've been told not to. But like... Come on.
Yeah,
some people are going to do it.
Yeah, yes. exactly. Yeah.
And if you're going to do it, just know that the sting goes away.
Yes.
I don't know why, whether it's you've read the same thing 10 times, whether something really hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
You're going to get over it.
Yes.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wanted to know what people were going to be critical about. Just so that it wasn't a surprise. I'm glad that I've gone through it before the book comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's also this... Looking back, I'm like, why did I assume everyone was going to give me 5 stars? Like,
oh yeah,
that's just ridiculous.
No.
Yes.
And then it was kind of really this like radical acceptance of what my book is and isn't, and really understanding that the isn't is going to make people angry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so really, then, you're actually making a good case for reading them, in my view.
There was no way I wasn't going to.
I was going to say, Kate, the truth is I probably will. But now Ashley's giving me tools to deal with what I probably would already do, despite the fact that everyone says
she's
don't
giving
do
you tools. And her reasoning is something that I think is you believe as well. Like, meaning, like, let me know the worst case. You like to worst case things, think them through.
Yeah.
And so this supports that. If you're that type of person, I think you're making
Except
a good
Ashley,
case.
I use that as my reason to say I am an eternal optimist. Because it's because I think of everything the worst that I can go, maybe this will be good. Maybe this could really be good.
Maybe for me, it's that I expect the worst.
Yes.
And that
seems realistic, not pessimistic.
Pragmatic.
That's a pessimist, pragmatic. People.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
You know, I can give you 10 pieces of advice about reviews, but it's like you have to accept it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think about it like how I think about dying. Do I know it's going to happen? Yes. Have I accepted it's going to happen? No.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So you have to like, it's one thing to say, oh, everyone gets negative reviews, but that it's another to like accept like your book is going to get negative reviews, unfortunately.
Yes.
And maybe you'll get a lot, maybe you won't, but whatever happens, you're going to be fine.
I love it. Okay.
How much do I owe you for this therapy session?
It's like trickle down therapy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh my God.
Well, let's turn towards hopeful for the future. So what are your hopes for this book? And for your career as a novelist.
Without moving the goalposts. Because I almost want to take this question back because...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For this book, I've already hit many of them.
Oh,
I've had people DM me saying, my dad just died. This really resonated with me. I've had people DM me saying, your book made me cry. These are all goals that I've had. For my career, honestly, I want to just keep loving writing. That is my goal because it's really different writing a book and selling a book.
Yeah.
Writing a book and publishing a book, these are two very different things. And I'm really lucky I'm on a 2-book deal as well. Writing that second book was the hardest thing I've ever done in my career.
Oh, I'm so
ever.
Glad to
like,
hear you say
it
that.
Was so challenging, and I'm just at the beginning. I'm just at the beginning. I got my notes back for my first draft. A lot of heavy lifting is needed.
Yeah.
So I want to keep like enjoying that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get, I have a couple writer friends and one of them always says I love writing, but publishing is really challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm just hoping not to get like mired down by that right now.
Oh, those are great. What a great answer.
Yeah.
Yes. And now the question I have literally been dying to hear this entire time. Do I, wait, have you told me your sign?
No.
Okay.
I've been nervous for this because I don't know anything about astrology.
Well, good thing the author of The Astrology House does. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know anything.
I knew. I was just going to say, please. Yeah, I'm a Taurus. But I know there's Aries in there too. Are you
What's that?
Cuspy? When is your birthday? I can cut it out
May
if you 5th. Want. Okay. Yeah, yeah, it's not as, it's closer, but yeah, there's got to be Aries in there too.
My question is,
yes,
to you guys, the experts.
Yes.
Does it matter when you're supposed to be born? Because I was a preemie.
It
no.
doesn't.
Okay. Because no. do I feel more Gemini?
In fact, no, it probably makes you more Taurus that
okay,
you came
okay.
when you
like,
were supposed
I had
to
be a Taurus.
Yes.
Okay.
That was
yes.
your
that was your destiny.
But by the way, I don't know if you've heard us speak to any other Tauruses. Tauruses do not, of course you were like, I don't know anything about astrology. It's not pragmatic enough mm-hmm. for
right.
a Taurus. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Right.
Like, this doesn't do anything for me. And so Tauruses notoriously are not interested in astrology. Okay. So
it's not that I'm not interested. It's just, I think it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I know it's not like fortune telling, I don't believe in fortune telling. However, I will never see a fortune teller.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I read
the most Taurus thing ever.
I'm not doing it. Like, forget it.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I don't feel there's many Tauruses. I feel like we're overlooked.
No.
A little bit.
Oh, I have a lot of Tauruses in my life. And
okay.
So
They're
not overlooked in my life.
Fixed earth sign and it's not that I believe that you're interested, it's just it doesn't resonate for you because it isn't, as Corinne said, very pragmatic or practical. So we do hear
and
that
maybe
from Tauruses.
And maybe it's not even necessarily that if we told you a lot, it might start to resonate, but it's more of the idea that is like you said, you're uncomfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Like, how could there be something mystical, something that like is not quite quantifiable, and like you can't give me the science of it or the origin of it in a way that makes sense to me. I think that makes
sense. 100%
me.
Grounded
earth
sense.
Sign.
Yeah.
Love it. So we always like to end by asking what you're loving. So we get some of our best recommendations based on authors' obsessions or interests. So what are you reading or watching?
Well, I am watching the best franchise on Real Housewives, Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
100%.
Yeah.
And my husband and I like TV. He likes sports. So we don't watch a lot together. But right now, when we find a show that we both like, which is great, so we're watching Slow Horses, which is really good. It's like a British show. Mm-hmm. It's like a kind of slow burn, MI5, Gary Oldman's in it, Kristen Scott Thomas is in it. It's excellent. Oh, and I am, one of the best parts about being a debut author is getting arcs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I am reading... When We Were Silent, which I think is coming out in May. Mm-hmm. It's like Dark Academia,
ooh,
Fiona
I
McPhillips.
I love Dark Academia.
It's so beautifully written. It's really, really good. It's coming out in May.
Advanced reader copies are our favorite part of
it's
this
such
gig,
a,
too.
It's like a gift every time, you know? I got another one. The Favorite.
The Favorite. Ooh. I like that cover.
So we share an agent. Yeah. That's another amazing thing. I got books that my agent represents,
yes.
right?
Yes.
For a book lover since childhood.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's like
dream.
Christmas every
I
time.
Know.
Right, isn't it?
Or that I can ask my publishers for books and they just send them to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Every time they come, like the envelope
me
comes,
too.
I'm like, oh.
Like, it's so exciting. It's like
book
Christmas
mail.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, book mail.
Yeah,
I love it.
Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. I love how, by the way, Ashley and I have been DMing since maybe my announcement or somewhere around that time. And I immediately assumed we would have you on the podcast. And finally, I was like, wait, it's getting pretty close. Like, maybe we should start making some actual details. And you were like, oh, I hadn't, like, you hadn't
I'm so
asked.
Happy.
Or like,
yeah, I'm so happy. Yes, I love your podcast. I love listening to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. It's just
okay.
not really
Thank you. But I love listening to yours.
I do.
What a cute compliment.
Well, you have so many. You have the best authors on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, anyway, you did not assume it was a foregone conclusion,
no, I did.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Yes.
Exactly. So great. I love that she's referencing her sign now.
Yeah.
I'm a tourist.
Yes. Yeah. This will be my whole
personality. This is the only place.
Now.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Ashley, thanks for joining us. 27 Minutes is out now. I loved this book. I did cry at the end. If you didn't hear me before when I said it earlier, I did cry at the end.
I'm so glad.
And I did think it was hopeful.
And it is hopeful. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that
Coming unstuck is hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thank you.